Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your steadfast love, even over us as a people. Thank you for what you are doing in our lives at this time. Thank you for the pasture which you are blessing our soul with at this time. Thank you for the prosperity which you are working even in our soul at this time. So, Heavenly Father, even as we've come again this evening, we've come to gather at your feet again, even to draw from you, to be blessed by you. Lord Jesus, we just pray that even that which you want to bless us with this evening, that you help us even to get it in Jesus' name. That Father, Lord, I put myself under, even under the grace of the house, your servant, Pastor Jeff, that in my own little way, and that you will help me even to minister out of the measure of the little, even of the grace that you bestow upon your servant, that even that which is meant to come, even through today's meeting, that Lord Jesus, that you help my vessel even to key in and to say it the way you want it to be said, even to your people, in Jesus' name. And that, Father Lord, this today will just be a great time of blessing, a great time of blessing in your presence, and you bless us even beyond what we can imagine. This we all ask for in your name, Jesus. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you all. Amen. Yes, I think we can just, I'm just here to give a short charge. I'll soon be out of your ear, and you receive the minister of the covenant, right? So, I'm just here to just charge us a bit, just to, you know, wake us up if we are still, you know, we know we went to work, we are still, you know, in different work might have worked our soul, right? Just to make sure that we are not, you know, we have some things to come up with. So, can you just give me First John. First John from verse, First John chapter 4. Still on the emphasis of what is in the house. You know, thank God for the emphasis that is actually upon us at this time, right? How, you know, the Lord, I think there are way more spiritual people in the house than me, so they might have noticed the trust or the emphasis a long time before I did. But I think right after Pastor got back from the trip from Calgary, right, it's like there has been like some major emphasis, right? I think it started from the book of Matthew 23, right? Can we start from there, please? It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. He says, this ought ye to have done, and not to leave the others undone. Amen. You know, I think this was the major place that, you know, God gave us like a breakthrough after the Calgary meeting that we've been looking at from many sides, right? And you know, Pastor making us that, you know, when it comes to the weightier matter, just like this place is, right, there are three major things, right? And like he said that there might still be many things around it, right? But these are three major things that stand out when it comes to the weightier matters of the law, which these things are the things that pertains to truth, right? He says judgment, mercy, and faith. And, you know, God has been helping us through different means to look at it, and it has been expanding and expanding. So that's why I was going to tell you that, you know, we ought to, you know, always thank God even for his servant, right? Because, I mean, I don't know how many times we've read this place. I know I've read this place so many times. I didn't even see anything like, like, do you get what I'm trying to say? You know, the verse we just say is that this ought to do. And, you know, not forget the rest. But you not see that there are actually some things here. And Jesus said that they are called weightier matters of the law. So when they are called weightier matters, that means they are actually the main things. They are the main things that, you know, the law rests on
if you had put it like that, they are actually the things. Without them, right, the law is useless. So it's because those are the things that we know we ought to pay attention to, the things pertaining to judgment, mercy, and faith. Amen. I know, going back to the 1 John 1:4, you know, it says, I think last time when Pastor was ministering, he ministered from this place, right? And he was saying here that, you know, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, right? Because many false prophets are gone into the world. Amen. He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone into the world. You know, one thing that is standing out to me here, he said that believe not every spirit, right? So, but that means that there are some spirits that you are meant to believe. Right? If he says believe not every spirit, but try them. So the purpose of you trying them is to try them. But if you notice that these are actually the spirit that are of God, those are the things that you ought to believe. Really. So that means that for us, right, we are actually meant to believe some spirits. And it categorizes it here. It says that the spirits that are of God. Right? That is that believe not every spirit, but try every spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are come into the world. So you can see, like I was saying earlier, there are actually spirits that you're actually meant to believe. And those spirits are actually called, they're actually the spirits that are of God. Right? You know, and you know, as Pastor was laboring, right, like still going back to that thing, he was making us that, you know, there are three principal component things, right? The thing pertaining to faith, mercy, and judgment, right? Give me John 16:13. It's just to refresh our brains on, you know, the things that have been taught, and I'm not bringing out any revelation and all, so just to gist with you. It says, howbeit when the spirit of truth is come, right? He says, howbeit when the spirit of truth is come, it will guide you into all truth. Right? So that means that the spirit of truth is actually meant to guide you into all truth. So when he says all truth means that there are different layers of truth. Truth is not just like one thing. There are different things that make up truth. Call it all truth. But it's actually a spirit that, you know, it's called the spirit of truth that will actually, you know, guide you into all truth. Right? He says, for he shall not speak of himself, but he shall but what he shall hear, he shall speak, and he shall show you things to come. 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore he said, I will take of mine and show it unto you. Next one. Or is it 12? Where we're talking about of judgment? What's that? Is it? What's that? 11. Oh, thank you. 10. Can I start from 9? 8. Thank you. 16, 8. Okay, let's start from 7. Yeah, thank you. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, right? It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Right? So he's saying that he has to go for the Comforter to come. Right? And he says that when he is come, there are some things that he will do. Right? So Jesus here is trying to tell us the things that the Comforter will do when he comes. Almost like the major things that he will do. Right? Remember that Matthew 23 was talking about the weightier matters of the law. So that when the spirit is coming to, there are some things that are, let's say, the primary, you know, when you're applying for a job, right, they say the primary responsibilities, secondary responsibilities, and all right. Now that the primary responsibility of the Comforter pertains to the weightier matters. Do you understand? It says that when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness and of judgment. Three things. So when he actually comes, these are the three major things that he's meant to do when the Comforter is come, right? He says, of sin, because they believe not on me, right? Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged, right? So damn that, he actually broke it down into three different things, right? But the first one is, let's take the first one. Now he says that, of sin, because they believe not on me. Right? So that means that to God, in the sight of God, right, you not believing on the Son is a sin. I don't know. He said, he will prove the word of sin because they believe not in me. So then that unbelief in whatever shade or form that it might be is actually regarded in the sight of God. What I mean the sight of God, in the things that count as weightier matters, weighty things, right, is considered a sin because of unbelief. Because remember the first John that we said, he said that we are meant to believe the spirit that are of God. Right? So then that there is actually something that will stop you from not believing the spirits that are from God. And that's actually sin. He says of sin because they believe not on me. Right? So then that when he's actually on that matter of sin, right, is to actually make a people that are not believing to believe, it will need what? Faith. Right? Because you need what hinders believing, right, is actually lack of faith. If there's no faith in there, you don't believe. But you know there's a way that you can just rationalize that kind of thing. Like unbelief, if you look at it, in the grand scheme of things, in our natural life, we don't see unbelief as a sin. We don't see like, oh, I don't believe. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We don't see it as a sin. There are some other things that we actually consider as sin. And but in this place, Jesus is saying that when the Holy Spirit comes, when the Comforter comes, who is the Holy Spirit, right? Who is the Spirit of truth? When he actually comes, these are the things that he will actually deal with. Remember I said that, you know, these are actually his primary responsibilities. There are some other things that he will do as well. Do you understand? So when we give our life to Christ, right, and you know where, you know, we receive the Holy Ghost into our vessel, right? He's not doing all these things. Because he cannot start talking about all these things to you as a child. Right? Because he calls it weightier matters. Oh, how do I describe it now? You know, when you give birth to a child, or when you have a child, you cannot start discussing things that matters to him. Right? You can't start because you will actually do many things around you. You know, if he's crying, you give him, you know, anything he wants. Maybe even when he's actually at the age of four or whatever, and you are going through like McDonald's or whatever, and he's crying, I want McDonald's. You branch at McDonald's, you buy him the McDonald's. Right? It's almost like you are just doing, you've not started the, what I call it in a way, training in a way. Because the Bible says that train up a child in the way that it should go, so that when he's old, he will not depart from it. It didn't say train up a baby. You can't train a baby. You have to give allowance for a baby. But there's a time whereby your baby will become a child. And you now start telling that, no, that is wrong. Even though before then, right, you've permitted him to do whatever he wants to do. He can, maybe, one thing that you will start correcting your child from, like maybe when they're actually still babies, they can be slapping your cheek, slapping you. You're not telling that no. You like, oh, all the uncles will be like, oh, yeah. But when they become a child and they slap you, there's where you. Do you remember? You'll be like, no. There's a way. It's almost like when a person becomes a child, you start dealing out, you start exposing the person to things that really matters. Because those are really what working made the person a wholesome human being. Right? For example, now, one thing that you would deal in a child, right, is that when you're in a public space, you can't just be crying. Right? When he's a baby, you can't do anything. When he's crying, you can't do anything. You just have to do and you pacify him with whatever, if he wants that. I'm using that just to show us our relationship with the Holy Ghost. Right? You know, when I give my life to Christ, I say, oh, Lord, you know, this and this and this and this. Before you know it, he's going to be giving you. To the point that even Jesus was going to say, this hand shall follow them that believe on me. Right? That's Mark 16, right? And that believing on me is actually to believe to be born again. You're not believing to take away sin or whatever like that. Right? That's actually just to believe to actually become born again. He says, this time shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak in new tongues. You know, different things. Right? They shall take up serpents. They shall drink any deadly. And if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Right? So these are actually like exploits and even much more than that. Right? That as a believer, when you give your life to Christ at first, right, you find manifesting in your life. Right? But there is still those places of unbeliefs that are there. And what I mean by unbelief, right? Unbelief towards God's standard of living. You know that thing that when we say that, that's God, though. I don't know, those are actually the unbelief I'm talking about. Do you remember? Maybe when they're like, oh, maybe be patient with this person. I'm not God, though. I don't know, because when you say that, go back to that First John. John 16. He says that when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of joy, of sin, because they believe not on me. Because who Jesus really is, right? The Bible says that he's actually, they call him many names, but part of his name is actually the Prince of Peace. Right? So that is, you know, in a place that blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. So that means that who sons of God really are, they're actually peacemakers. They are those that can actually, that they think the way God thinks. You know, the book of Isaiah said something, said that my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Can you give me that place, please? It says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. So it's pointing to something that there's a way. So you know what actually constitutes unbelief is actually our thoughts. Because he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. So that means that what makes us not believe God is actually the way we think. Just take it. Let's take a common example. Like when it comes to like healing, for example, right? Maybe you are really, really sick and all, right? You are shaking. And they are like, you know, maybe the man of God prayed for you and all, right? And it's like, maybe just believe in God. You know, there's a way you still be thinking. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. Like, is that all it takes? And what is the point for that? Is that all it takes? Actually, it's a particular kind of logic. A thought. You just feel like, this is not so. Maybe I need to do something more. I need to do something more. But you know, to us, like, we don't feel that that is actually a sin. Because it's almost like you're not agreeing with, like, the standard of God. He says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. That's why the Bible says that your righteousness is as a filthy rag before me. Because whatever you do, right, is not up to par. Right? It's not up to par. So going back to John 16, right? He says that, I don't know, are you getting me, please? He says, of sin, because they believe not on me. Right? So I'm just making us see that when it comes to that thing of sin, Bible also says it in the book of Romans, right? It said, whatever is not of faith is sin. So no matter how nice, logical it might be, if it's actually not stemming out of faith, and faith means that you're actually believing in somebody, you agree, and what it means is that you're actually agreeing with a standard of God being revealed, or you are agreeing with thoughts of God, right? You agree with some particular kind of thoughts of God. You let it settle inside of you. Right? That's actually what faith constitutes. That's actually how you get a good report. Bible says in Isaiah, who shall believe our report? Give me that place in Isaiah, please. It says, who shall believe our report? And unto whom is the... it says, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? So that means that this thing of believing the report is not easy. Right? And I don't know if you have seen some that when it comes to this thing of belief is not just a mental assent. I believe, okay, I switch and I believe. Belief is actually a walk. Because remember where we read earlier, if it, that, as I said, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts. You know, every thought is actually a walk. It's a formation. It's not just something that, it's something that just grew up with you over time and becomes the way you think, the way you reason. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? So that thing of the way we think, our thoughts, right, those are actually the things that, you know, where sin is actually hiding. Because it looks so logical. You know, there are just something when it comes to, you know, and not, I don't, you would have heard of this thing, right? That when it comes to walking with the Lord, right, or move of the Spirit, one that can shut out the move of the Spirit is being sensual. When you just move to the realm of being sensual, right, you shut move of the Spirit because you can't flow with the Spirit again. You are using a particular kind of thought. So the Bible was saying that when the Comforter will come, right, which he called the Spirit of Truth, he will start his major responsibility is actually to deal with these things. The first one is actually to deal with the things that make you not believe on him. Right? The things that make you not believe on him. And like we're looking at in that Matthew 23, he says that there are three things that are weightier matters: faith, mercy, judgment. So to actually deal with unbelief in a soul, right, somebody needs to be exposed to this thing called faith. Right? And this faith is actually brought by the Spirit. Right? That's why you would hear in the book of 2 Corinthians saying that we having the same spirit of faith. Because when there was a time that the minister described, when he said, you know, he said that just to make an inference from what he said, you know, when you talk about the Spirit of Truth, then that inside that spirit you can find truth. So when he says spirit of faith, then that inside that spirit you can find faith. So when the spirit of faith is actually involved or working in a person's life, right, what is actually meant to deliver is actually what? Faith. Nothing more, nothing less. So you guys, it's actually inside the Comforter, right? There are many spirits. But one of the spirit that actually deals with faith, sorry, that deals with unbelief, right, is that thing called spirit of faith. It will work. It says that we have been the same spirit of, thank you, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says that we have been the same spirit of faith. According as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. So you can see that what actually makes a person begin to believe is what? Spirit of faith. Right? So so a believer that wants to start, you know, believing the things of God. When I mean believing the things of God, start walking in God's judgment, God's own righteousness. The first thing that he will first of all be exposed to is actually that thing called the spirit of faith to make him believe. Because you need to be a believer first before you can actually inherit or before you can really, really know. Bible said Apostle Paul was writing to one of his sons. He said that, I know whom I have believed. So that means that before he actually knew that person, he actually believed. And again, give me that. Say that, okay, for the things which I suffer, these things nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. So when he believed him at first, he didn't know him. He had to come to a place whereby so after a while, because of his, when he came to a place whereby he believed him, right, he now got to a place where he actually knew the person. Knowing here is not like maybe head knowledge. Is actually the place of where you actually inherit things. Right? It's just like the same word that Jesus used in John 8. He said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Right? So before you actually know the truth itself, right, you need to first of all believe the truth. 2 Thessalonians talk about the belief of the truth. Can you give me that place, please? 2 Corinthians 2:13, I believe. He says that for this cause we thank God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, right, ye received it not as the word of men, but as in truth. Is it 13? Okay. Is it the same place? Sorry. Okay. For we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God had from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. So before you can undergo sanctification of the Spirit, right, which is actually by the truth. Pastor was telling us, right, when he read this place, that no, this sanctification of the Spirit here is exactly what Jesus referred to in John 17, that sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth. So before the Father can sanctify a person, the person first of all needs to have believed the truth. Because Bible says that can two walk together except they be agreed. Because we know when you talk about this sanctification, your sanctification is almost like is when they want to do, like the way I see it is almost like the major work. For example, maybe you want to go to the hospital, for example, now, right? A surgeon wants to work on you. A surgeon cannot work on you while you are actually alive. Or while you are awake, rather. While you're awake. He has to sedate you. He has to sedate you. Why does he have to sedate you? Because you being awake will tamper with things. If he just injects you, he'll be like, hey. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Imagine maybe they are trying to work on somebody's internal organ. Can you be awake when they slice you open? So they need to first of all sedate you to actually make you whole in the natural. So also in the spirit, before you can actually undergo that thing called sanctification, which is the realm of when he was talking about, give me that John 16 again. He says that of sin because they believe not on me. So that not believing not on him is actually an hindrance to this chapter 10. So to verse 10, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me not. So that's that what the Lord wants to do. The Lord actually wants to wrought righteousness in souls. Right? But he can't wrought righteousness in souls without souls, first of all, believing in him first. But believing in him actually comes by faith. Because one thing that Hebrews make us know is that he says that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that when you actually come to a place of belief, right, your realm of understanding changes. Your belief system changes. Or let me put it in another way, your reality changes. Just using an example of, you know, those that maybe are trusting God for like healing, for example. You know, for those of us that, you know, maybe listen to people like maybe Baba Oyedepo, for example, now. Like my brother on camera is a bona fide son, you know. You hear faith to a degree, right, that even though you have not yet experienced what you are trusting God for, but you believe it. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. You believe it. And it's like, when you are talking, a lot of people are like, you are crazy. Calm down. But you, it's not that you are crazy or you are making it up. You've been transparent to another world where you believe that thing is true. It's possible. And it's actually on that base of that thing can actually come to pass. So also in the spirit as well too, right? So when they are trying to like bring truth into the soul, first of all needs to, because, and all of us, to be honest, all of us have that, if you have to be sincere with ourselves, we all have different degrees of unbelief towards the things of God. It's only if you just want to lie to yourself. We know we have, when it comes to the things, just how you know, at times just be reading the Bible, or just, even just no, Elishma says that, take the gospel and start reading the conversation of Jesus. We don't believe with everything that he's saying. If you have to be sincere with yourself, you just be like, that's Jesus. Jesus the Hosanna. He's the only one that can do it. Do you know what I mean? But you'd be like, me? Do that kind of thing. I don't know if you can try to say. But my point is that before they can actually bring somebody to that place whereby those things that constitute righteousness, that constitute judgment, are found in the soul, right? The soul, first of all, needs to be, you know, washed of things that constitute unbelief. Right? And when I'm talking about all these things, that is not that maybe, like Pastor was saying, like the way these things work, right, there are different areas of our lives. What I mean is that, for example, there can be a particular issue that before you can actually, so what I'm trying to say is that, you know, the way I'm talking now, you can be like, oh, maybe we just need to be exposed to just the spirit of faith alone, right? Spirit of faith. But, you know, the way, Pastor said that when it comes to the things of God, right, it works in, they work together. So there might be an issue in your life now, for example. One example can be like maybe the way you even see your brethren. You know, one thought that can begin to visit you that you is that maybe first of all, knowing that my brother, Yinka, is actually my brother. I don't know if you get all that. You know, at time when you know when they think when you think about who is your brother subconsciously, most of the time you first of all think about your family, your blood. But they need to first of all get you to a place whereby you can know that your brother in Christ is more of a brother, is more of a brother to you than your Jesus Christ, than your relative, right? And let me give you an example. So that it's not that maybe you feel I'm saying heresy. Jesus Christ, when they came to him, his relatives, they came. Can you give me that place, please? I'm just trying to make us. It's just like a snapshot of things that constitute unbelief in us. I don't know if I'm trying to say. When he was ministering somewhere and all. I'm sorry, I'll soon be done. Okay, I think it's the book of John, or I just want everybody to see it. Thank you. When they said that they are looking for him, can you start from that place? I don't want to assume that everybody knows the thing. That's why he says, "Then one said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren." So when they are saying, "Behold, thy mother and thy brethren," they mean he's actually his physical brothers and mother, right? That's Mary, James, Jude, right, and co, right? He says that, yes, now, because the Bible says that Jesus had sisters too, right? So all of them, his brothers and sisters, he says that while yet he talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him, right? Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Give me the other verse. He said that, but he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? I don't know if you are saying, who are my... So, I can use that. It's not me that actually coined it up, please. It's the Bible. He said, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And stretched forth his hand towards the disciple and said, behold my mother and my brethren. Right? For whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother, sister, and mother. So, can I say, what are your true? But you get what I'm trying to say, don't you? Because I don't want. But you get the sense of what I'm trying to say. So I'm trying to make us see that, you know, this thing can be an unbelief in our soul, and it's still there somewhere. That maybe at a time when do you remember? But we don't see those things as sins, really. Because at times, right, we're not accepting that somebody is that of a brother to us than our earthly parents, than our earthly siblings, right? It can hinder some works of righteousness towards that person. There might be some level of compassion that the Lord wanted to show, some level of mercy that the Lord wanted to show towards the person. But because you've not agreed with that thing can never be done. And you never come to some judgment regarding brotherhood. I don't know if you are seeing what I'm... So, what I'm trying to make us see is that thing of faith, spirit of faith, right, dealing with unbelief in us is actually very, very important. And one thing, lastly, on Micah, give me Micah, because my time is up. I'm so sorry. And every wrong thing I've said, I know. The messenger of the covenant would help me correct it. I'm under. So, Micah 6:3. Or is it 6:8 or 9? He said, and he said, he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. Let's hold on here. He said that he has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what is required of thee. So that means that, you know, when we're just taking a step back, right, we know that, okay, from that Matthew 23 and John 16 that we're looking at. We said there are three major spirits in the spirit of truth. You don't put it like that, right? Spirit of faith, mercy, and judgment, right? But when it comes to those spirits working in you, you can't conjure them. They need to be sent to you. It's almost like a sending and a receiving relationship. So if the Lord knows that all of us, we have unbelief in different green lights. So if he actually wants us to believe, he will first of all send his spirit of faith. There's that sending part. But what is required from our own side is what he's telling us here. So mean that when the spirit of faith is sent to you, first of all, right, what is your response to it? What is required of? He said, he has showed the old man what is good and what the Lord require of thee, pertaining to the weightier matters, right? He says, but to do justly, which is judgment, right? To love mercy, which is mercy or righteousness, right? And then to walk humbly with thy God. That's faith. So that means that our attitude towards the spirit of faith should be what? Humility. Because it would actually be coming against some definitions that we have. Like the example I gave earlier, like the thing of brotherhood, for example. You know, it will take a shift for you to begin to see that actually, really, really, this person is actually, I'm more tied to this person than my earthly siblings. And just as I'm not saying that our earthly siblings are not, you know, are not important. They are important, right? And if we don't have a good relationship with them, the Lord will come for us. Right? Bible says that, honor thy father and thy mother. Right? So that your days may be long. Though your father and your mother, they are your natural parents. Right? So one secret to long life is actually honoring them. Do you remember? So I'm not saying that they are not, but I'm just saying that in the priority of things, right, that the stronger bond, right, because once you give your life to Christ, you've now been brought into the family of God. So God's family or God's children are now your siblings. And now your primary siblings. Amen. But you get that part. I don't want to stay so much there. But what I'm trying to say is that you see that enough. It says, walk humbly with thy God. So then that when it comes to the spirit of faith, one attitude that you have towards the spirit of faith is an attitude of humility. Because you'll be coming against some definitions. But when there is that clash, know that it's because of sin, which is a form of unbelief that is making you not agree. But the response from your own side is actually to be humble. So that's why he says, going back to what I read in 1 John 4, he said that, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many prophets are coming to the world. So that means that there is actually, this, like I said earlier, there are some spirits that you need to believe, the spirits of God. But believing them is not easy. Right? You need to be humble. Just like an example of that thing is somebody Joseph, the father of Jesus. It didn't make sense to him. Why would I take this person as my wife? There is a belief that he had, but he could not deny something. He knew that this thing is actually from God. So he had to humble himself, drop his own thing, and take on the things of God. That's actually spirit of faith at work. And that launched him into another adventure entirely. You know, Pastor was saying that spirit of faith, when it's actually at work, is actually a spirit of adventure. It's actually to launch you to another world to begin to explore the things of God. Amen. So my charge towards this evening, I don't know if what I said, I'm just going up and down. But my charge towards this evening is just that we need God, you know, these spirits, God has, through God's servant preaching and all, right, these spirits have been released. Jesus said that the words I speak to you, they are spirits and they are life. So that means that the way the Father would send these spirits towards the spirit, the activity of this spirit is actually through words, right? But there's actually what is actually required of us when it comes to each of these spirits. Like that Micah said, he said that when it comes to justice, right, to do justly, to mercy, to love mercy. But when it comes to that thing of faith, right, you need to walk humbly to actually get that. So I just want us to see that, you know, that these things, as they have been sent to us, right, there's actually a response that we need to have towards them. Right, for us to actually make profit and benefit with it. I pray the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Can we just say a short word of prayer? That the Lord would help us. Lord will help us. That the Lord will help us greatly. That every form of unbelief, every form of unbelief towards God's standards, towards God's thought, that the Lord would clothe us with humility, humility to be able to, you know, to be able to receive even the activity of the spirit of faith, even in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. Amen. Amen.